Our 41st study in the book of Isaiah brings us to chapter 63, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Isaiah, we continue in chapter 63, verse 1. Who is this who comes from Edom? Remember, Edom was a country just south of Israel. Really, their arch enemies for so many years. With dyed garments from Bozra. Bozra was a major city in Edom. This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red, and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? Answer, I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury, it sustained me. I have trampled down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. And this is talking about the return of Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns, it will be a great day of deliverance for his people, and a great day of punishment for those who do evil. Verse 7, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. God knew in advance that his people would rebel, and yet he still called them his people. And when they got themselves into all sorts of trouble because of their sin, he rescued them, even though he knew in advance that they would repay his kindness with rebellion. Verse 11, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who would put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make for himself an everlasting name? Who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they might not stumble. They treated God badly, and then had the nerve to say, where is God? Where is God when we need him? Well, you know, instead of passing judgment on God, they should have been examining their own consciences to see where they went wrong, to see why they were in so much trouble. 14. As a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you led your people to make yourself a glorious name. One can't help but appreciate the grace and mercy of God when one thinks about how kind he has been to his sinful people. He certainly has made for himself a glorious name. 15. Look down from heaven and see from your habitation, holy and glorious? Where are your zeal and your strength, the yearning of your heart, and your mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless, you are our Father. Though Abraham was ignorant of us, and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. Isaiah was a good preacher. You know? He was a very good preacher. He prayed for the people that he preached to. And he says, you know, we've been bad enough for Abraham to forget about. But God, I still ask for your mercy. 17, O Lord, why have you made us stray from your ways and harden our heart from your fear? Return for your servant's sake the tribes of your inheritance. Your holy people have possessed it, but a little while our adversaries have trodden down your sanctuary. We have become like those of old, over whom you never ruled, those who were never called by your name. God's people say, we've got it so bad, God. God, why have you made us sin? That's what they're saying back in 17. Why did you make us sin? Why did you stop us? Well, they've got a short memory. God tried, but they wouldn't listen. He increased the severity of their punishment in increments, but their stubborn, sinful hearts would not respond. Chapter 64, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountain shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has any eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. Well, they kind of change their tune here a little bit, don't they? They admit that they've been bad, and bad for a long time. And they admit that God blesses the good. And they wonder if maybe God's mercy towards them is drained dry because it has been used so often in the past. 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and have consumed us because of our iniquities. So they confess that they are bad people. They say our best behavior is still rotten to the core. Verse 8, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look. We all are your people. And so through all their sin, it is true, God is still their Father. So even in judgment, they have a sliver of hope. 10. Your holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our fathers praised you, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? You know, they don't ask for good from God because they deserve it, because they know they do not. Instead, they remind God of His temple, which is lying in ruins, and his city, the one that he loves so much, Jerusalem, is lying in ruins. And they ask God to restore their country because that promised land he gave them is in very terrible shape. We'll pick it up next time and finish the book of Isaiah in chapter 65. Until then, so long, everyone.